B'siyata Deshmaya, we're going to continue Shabbos Taf Lamed Gimel. We're going to start four lines from the top of the Omud. We're in the middle of a whole load of brises telling us the different punishments for different averus that we've done or that we could do. Continues the Gemara, the next brisa. Ba'avoin inui hadin, for the avera of delaying judgment, v'ivus hadin, and intentionally perverting the judgment, v'kilkul hadin, and allowing a judgment to become corrupted through carelessness, u'bitul teira, neglecting teira learning, because of all those chorev, u'cherev, u'biza, rova, there'll be much invasion with the sword and plundering amongst the people, v'dever u'batzeres bo. There'll be dever, the animals will die, ubatzeres bo, there'll be famine, uvne odam oichlim ve'enam tzvein, and people are going to eat and they're not going to be satisfied, ve'oichlim lachmon b'mishkol, and there'll be so little food, there'll be such a shortage that they'll be eating their bread by weight, they'll be rationing everything that they're eating. T'chsiv, as it says in the Pasuk, Ve'hivesi aleichem cherev noikemes nekambris, I'm going to bring upon you a sword avenging for the vengeance of the bris, the covenant, which is referring to Torah, ve'in bris elo Torah, the covenant we have with Hashem is Torah. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Im loy barisi yoimom v'laylo v'goymer, that my covenant is something to do with yoimom v'laylo, and we know this is Torah that keeps the world alive day and night. And not only does Torah keep the world alive day and night, the mitzvah and the chiyuv of learning Torah is one that has to be kept day and night. Continues the Gemara. Uchsiv, there's another pasuk that says, B'shivri lochem matei lechem v'ofu eser noshim. When I break you, the staff of bread, means when the staff of bread is going to break and the women will bake your bread in one oven. Uchsiv, and it says that the reason that there's going to be this punishment is yan uveyan b'mishpotai ma'asu, because they were revolted by my mishpotim, by my halachas, and this again is referring to Torah. And this is why it says that we started that bittul Torah and the judgment, the perverting the judgment, the ivus hadin, the inu hadin, the kilkul hadin, those are all mishpotai ma'asu. It's when a person is revolted by the mishpat of the Torah, and chas v'shalom, all these punishments could come because of it. Continues the brisa, ba'avoin shvuas shav, because of the avera of making a shvuas shav, which is an oath in vain, saying things that don't make any sense, saying I'm making a shvua that this is a woman and it's a man, or v'shvuas sheker. Or if he's saying a lie, things that are not so blatantly clear that it's nonsense, is something that you're making people believe something to be true when it's not. V'chilul Hashem, or if somebody is making a chilul Hashem. And Rashi explains here that chilul Hashem is a person who's got influence on other people, and those people who are learning from him are going to see some type of chilul in him. They're going to see in him some type of laxness or some type of zilzal in keeping Torah mitzvahs, and that's going to cause them to be distanced from Torah. That's chilul Hashem. If chilul Shabbos, or if somebody is desecrating the Shabbos, then these averus can cause chayo ro or rabo, that wild animals will increase and will hurt people, or behem or kolo, and because of those wild animals, the animals, the domesticated animals, the cattle will die, uvne odom ismatim, and people, the human population will decrease, vadrochim ishtemimim, and the highways will be deserted. Shenemar, where do you see this in a pasuk? It says v'im ba'ila loy tivosruli, and this is after the pasuk which the Gemara is about to bring, where it says v'shlachti bochem eschayas hasode, and in that pasuk all the punishments mentioned in this brisa are mentioned. The ishlachti bochem eschayas hasode v'shiklo eschem v'chriso es behemtechem v'mito eschem v'noshamu darkeichem, which is exactly the list it says here, and the pasuk after that says v'im ba'ila loy tivosruli. It's if all those things that you just saw do not make you turn back and do tshuva. And the Gemara says that what does it mean, v'im ba'eile, So literally it means that if despite these things, these punishments, but the Gemara says, Al tikri ba'ele, don't read it, ba'ele, if in spite of these punishments, rather elo ba'olo. Olo means an oath, a shvua, and then what it means is that, uchsiven, it says in the Pasuk before that, Vishlachti bochem es chayas asode, as we just said, that all these punishments come v'im ba'ele, meaning im ba'olo, because of a shvua that you made, a shvuas shav and a shvuas sheker. That's regarding the shvuas shav is an olo. Uchsiv b'shvuas sheker, regarding shvuas sheker, it says v'lo yisishavu b'shmi la'shoker, you should not swear falsely in my name. V'chilaltu es shem elikecho, and that causes a chilul Hashem. U'b'chilul Hashem k'siv. And regarding making a chilul Hashem, it says in the pasuk, "Lo yisechalulu es shem kochi," that you should not desecrate my name. U'b'chilul Shabbos k'siv. And also regarding chilul Shabbos, it says, "Mechaleleho mois yumos," those that desecrate Shabbos will be put to death. V'yalif chilul chilul mishvuas sheker. In the same way as it says that shvuas sheker, which is similar to shvuas shav. Shvuas sheker and shvuas shav are both olo. And olo causes all these things to happen, as we saw in the psukim. And now that we know that shvuas sheker, being one of those shvois, is also called chilul, v'chilalto Hashem elekecho, we learn from there that all other chilulim, including chilul Shabbos and chilul Hashem, that they have the same punishment as shvuas sheker. That's what it says, Yolif Chilul Chilul Mishvuas Sheker. We can learn the punishment for all the Chilulim from Shvuas Sheker. Continues the Gemara. Ba'avoyin Shvichas Domim, because of the Avera, consequence, the Avera of murder, Beis Hamikdash Choriv. The Beis Hamikdash gets destroyed, Ushchina Mistalekes Mishol, and Hashem's presence leaves Klal Yisrael. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, V'loi Sechanifu V'goymer. And there it says that you should not bring guilt upon the land. And the apostle continues, "V'lo yisetameh sa'oretz," you should not contaminate the land, "asha'atem yeshim bo," that you are resting within it. And killing people, murder, is contaminating the land. "Ho atem metamin oisa," but if you do contaminate the land through murder, "ein chem yeshim bo," you'll not dwell in it. "V'ein yishoychit b'soicha," and I too, says Hashem, will not rest in its midst. Says the Braisa, "Ba'avoin gilu aroyas," because of the avera of gilu aroyas, which are marital relationships that are osa, or relationships outside marriage, "V'avoides kechovim," or serving avoides zara, idolatry, "V'ashmotas shmitim v'yevlis," and not keeping the halachas of Shmita and Yovel. This every seventh year doesn't apply so much today, and Yovel also not, but some halachas do apply today of Shmita and Yovel. The seventh year and the 50th year, there are special halachas. Golus bo la'olam, it causes exiles to come to the world. Umegalin oisam, and the people who are living in Eretz Yisrael will be exiled from Eretz Yisrael, uboyin achirin v'yeshim b'mekoymon, and other people, strangers, will come into Eretz Yisrael and live there in the place of Klal Yisrael. Shenemer, as it says in the pasuk, and this is a pasuk in the parish of Gilui Aroyis, ki es kol hatu'evo Yisrael osu anshei ha'oretz v'goymer. The inhabitants of the land, the people who are living in Eretz Yisrael, they did these averus. Uchsiv. And just before that, it says in the pasuk, "Vasitmo ha'oretz ve'efkoid avoyna oleo," the land became contaminated, and I recalled its iniquity upon it, and the land disgraced its inhabitants, and that's why we went into galus. Uchsiv leisoki ha'oretz eschem betamachem oisa. Later on in the pasuk, it says that if you do contaminate the land, then the land will throw you out, because you've contaminated it, the land will spit you out and you'll go into galus. That's all regarding Gilui Aroyis. Regarding Avodah Zarah, it says in the pasuk, "Venosati es pigreichem v'goymer," and your carcasses, I'm going to throw your carcasses onto the carcasses of the Avodah Zarah. Uchsivan, it says, for after that, v'hashimoisies mikdasheichem, that your mikdash is going to become desolate, v'eschem ezore bagoyim, and I will scatter you amongst the nations. So you see from there that these punishments of Golus come from serving Avodah Zarah. B'shmitin u'b'yoiv lo isksiv, regarding not keeping the halachas of shmita and yoivil, the pasuk says, oz tirtze ha'oret es shabse yisrael kol yomei ho'shamo. The land, Eretz Yisrael, will be appeased, will be merutze, tirtze ha'oret, during the years of desolation, because you'll be in Golus, and the land will just be desolate, because as a punishment for the fact that you did not keep the land desolate during Shemitah and Yovel. V'atem be'eretz oyveichem v'goymer, whilst you are going to be in exile in the land of your enemies. Uchsiv, it says in the Pasuk, kol yomei hoshamo tishbois, all the years of its desolation, it will rest. Which you see here that not keeping Shemitah and Yovel will force the land to rest in desolation, not because of Shemitah and Yovel, but because Klal Yisrael will be in Golus, and there'll only be enemies on the land, and the land will not be worked with, will be desolate. Continues the Gemara, Ba'avoin Nivlos Peh, for the Aveira of speaking not nice language, Tzorois Rabois, Ugzeiris, Koshois, Mischatshois, harsh decrees and tzorois, calamities, will increase amongst Klal Yisrael, Chas v'Shalom. Ubachurei Soini Yisrael, Mesim, and the young men of the enemies of Klal Yisrael, and this is just the Gemara saying it in a nice way, but Chas v'Shalom is referring to Klal Yisrael, just the Gemara doesn't want to say it in that many words, so it says the young men of the enemies of Klal Yisrael, they're going to die. Yisoimim v'almono yistzoyakim, orphans and widows will cry out, ve'eino nainin, and they will not be answered. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Alkein al bachurov lo yismach Hashem. Hashem will not rejoice over the youth in Klal Yisrael. Ve'es yisoimov v'es almenoisov lo yirachim, Hashem will not have mercy on the orphans and on the widows. Ki chulo yichoneif umeira, because all of them are hypocrites and evildoers, v'chol peh doivir nevola, and every mouth is speaking inappropriately, v'chol zois loishov apoy, and despite all this, his anger is not turned away, v'oid yodoy netuya, and his hand is still outstretched. So you see that the terrible punishment of the young people dying, almonos yisoyimim, being in distress, is because the mouths are speaking nivul peh. My v'oid yodoy netuya, these last words in the Pasuk where it says that not only will you get all those punishments, V'oid yodoy netuya, his hand is still outstretched. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, Omer of Chanan bar Rava, Hakil yodim kala loma nichnasa l'chupa. Everybody knows why a kala goes to the chupa. Elo kol hamanabil piv, but anyone who perverts his speech to actually express this verbally, even if the heavenly court had sealed a decree of 70 years in his favor, it will be reversed for evil. Rashi explains that vo'id is similar to vo'ed. Vo'ed means forever, so to speak, a whole lifetime, 70 years. And since the gzeira against him, the decree against him, is one of 70 years, it's a whole lifetime, it's a decree of vo'ed, which is hinted to in the Vo'id. Vo'id yodoy netuya is another type of nivul peh, which the consequences are a decree of Vo'ed of 70 years. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Bar Shila, Omar of Chizda. Kol amanabe les piv, anyone who perverts his speech, ma'amikin le gehenem, then the gehenem is deepened for him. Shenemar, as it says, shucho amuko pi zorois, the deep pit is for the mouth that speaks inappropriately. With Nachman by Yitzchak Omar, Afshe Me'a V'Shoiseg. This punishment is not only for the person that speaks inappropriately, but also to the person who hears it and remains silent and doesn't voice his objection to that type of speech. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, Zu'um Hashem Yipol Shom, that anyone that has abhorred, that is abhorred by Hashem, is going to fall there. And this does not only include the person that's speaking, it also includes the person who is not standing up for Hashem's covered and is not stopping the person who's speaking. Continues the Gemara, Omar Avoshia, Kol hamamorik atzmei la'avera, anyone that sets aside, that turns his heart away from his regular schedule in order to make time to do an avera, chaburois uptzoim, then wounds, yoitzim boy will break up on his body. Shenet will break out on his body. Shenemer, as it says in the pasuk, chaburois petza, the injuries and wounds, tamruk bara, is going to accompany somebody that is memarik, that he sets himself aside to do evil. V'loy oid elo shenidoin b'hadroikon, not only that, but he's also going to be punished with hadroikon. Shenemer, as it says in the pasuk, umakois chadrei boten, the ailments of the inner parts of his stomach. And we know that hadroikon is an illness that starts in the stomach. Omer Reb Nachman by Yitzchok, simen la'avera, an indicator that a person has done an avera, is hadroikon, is if a person suffers from hadroikon, we can assume that he's done an avera. Tonu Rabbonon, shleisha mini hadroikon hein, there are three types of hadroikon. Shel avera over, the hadroikon that comes consequent to having done an avera causes the skin to become thick. Shel ra'av tofuach, the hadroikon that comes from hunger is seen by the fact that there's swelling on his skin. V'shel kshafim dak, the hadroikon that brought about by sorcery, that shows itself by his skin becoming very thin. Shmuel hakoton choshbei, Shmuel hakoton once suffered from hadroikon. Omar ribayne shleilam, he said, ribayne shleilam Hashem, the master of the world, mi mephis, who's going to cast a lot? Who's going to know that this is one type of hadroikon, not the other type of hadroikon? People don't know the difference. They see that I'm suffering from hadroikon, and they're going to assume that I've done an avera. Itzi, after he said that, Hashem heard his tefillah and he became cured. Abaya choshpe, at one point Abaya suffered from hadroikon. Omar Rava said, Yodano b'Nachmoni, I know Nachmoni, which was another name for Abaya, d'machfin nafshe, that he used to deprive himself of food, and this is hadroikon, not chas v'shalom that comes from an avera, rather hadroikon that comes from hunger. Says the Gemara, Rava choshpe, at one point Rava also suffered from hadroikon, and the Gemara asks, v'harava hu d'omar, did Rava not say, nefishei k'tilei kedor menefichei koven? There are, amongst the reasons, the causes of hadroikon, one of them is if a person's intestines are overflowing with bowels, and they're not going to relieve themselves like an overflowing pot. That's called k'tilei kedor, the people that die because their insides are like an overflowing pot, and more people die from that than from hadroikon that comes from koifen, that comes from hunger. Now, Rava was aware that hunger causes hadroikon, as he just explained that the reason that Abaya suffered from hadroikon was because he wasn't eating. So we can assume that Rava protected himself from that and was eating. From the fact that Rava is the one that said that hadroikon could come from not passing one's bowels, well, then Rava would have been careful of that. So since Rava understood and knew what causes hadroikon, how could it be that he didn't protect himself? How could it be that he's suffering from hadroikon? Says the Gemara, Shani Rava d'ontzile rabbonon b'idnei ba'al korchi. He was learning with his Talmidim, and at some times they kept him back discussing Torah learning, even against his will. He needed to relieve himself, but they wouldn't let him go. They obviously didn't know that he needed to relieve himself. Some Rishonim even say that he himself wasn't aware of it. He was so engrossed in his learning. And because sometimes his intestines were overflowing and he didn't relieve himself, that's why he suffered from hadroikon. Says the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, Arbo Simonim Heim, there are four indicators of a person's misconduct. Simon La Avera, a person that is doing an Avera. And when these Gemaras mention Avera, generally it means an Avera in Aroyos. Hadroikon, then hadroikon is one of the signs. Simen lesinas chinam, an indicator of a person who has hatred to others for no reason. Yerokin, that he's going to suffer from yerokin. Some say it means some form of jaundice. Simon legasis haruach, an indicator that a person is a bal gaiva, is arrogant, is haughty, is anius, is poverty. Simon loshen hara, askara, a sign, an indicator that a person has transgressed averus of loshen hara, is that he suffers from askara, and we'll soon see that askara at some point affects the mouth. Tanu rabbanon, askara ba la'olam, that askara comes to the world, al hamaisa, when a person does not keep the halachas of maisa, Reb Elazar Reb Yosi Omer, al loshen hara. Reb Elazar Reb Yosi says that askara is caused by loshen hara. Omar Rava, Vitaim Reb Yeshua ben Levi, Maikra, where do we see this in the Pasuk? It says in the Pasuk, Va'melech Yismach Belikim, the king will rejoice in Hashem, Yishalil Kol Hanishba Boy, and will be glorified by anyone who swears truthfully by him. Ki Yisocher Pi Dovrei Shoke, when the mouth of the liars are going to be stopped. Socher. Yisocher means stopped, it's going to be blocked up. And the word Yisocher is also got similar letters to Askara. Ki Yisocher Pi Dovrei Shoke, people are using their mouths to speak Lashon Hara, that's a sheker, and that could cause them askara. Iboyeluhu, the Gemara asks the question. Reb Elazar ben Reb Yosi, this that we said now, that according to Reb Elazar ben Reb Yosi, Loshen Hara causes askara, a Loshen Hara ka'omar, oy dilma af a Loshen Hara ka'omar. Did Reb Elazar ben Reb Yosi say that askara only comes for Loshen Hara and not for Avoyin Maiser? Or does he say not only for Avoyin Maiser, but also for Avoyin Loshen Hara? Says the Gemara Toshema, I'll try and bring you a proof from a brisa. Kashenichnosu Rabbeinu lekerem biyavne, when the Chachomim they left Yerushalayim and went into the vineyards of Yavne. Hoyosham Reb Yehuda, v'Reb Elazar ben Reb Yosi, v'Reb Shimon. The Chachomim were there. Nishalo sheila zu befneim, and the following question was asked to them: Makazu, this ailment, this askara, mipnei ma mascheles bivnei me'ayim v'gimeres bepeh. Why does it start in the intestines of a person and it concludes by afflicting his mouth? Na ner b'yudah b'rabiloi roish hamadabrim b'kol mokim. B'yudah b'rabiloi was called the roish hamadabrim. He was the first of all speakers in every place, and he was the first one to answer. We'll see later in the Gemara why he was the roish hamadabrim. And he said as follows, Afel pisha kloyes yoitzois, even though kidneys give us advice, v'lev mevin, and the heart understands, v'loshin mechatech, and the tongue articulates the words, nonetheless, pe goimer, the mouth is the one that concludes, is the one that says what you're not supposed to say. And even though to fantasize a juicy Lashon Hara needed the lust and the fantasies of the heart, but at the end of the day, the mouth is the one that had to verbalize the Lashon Hara, and that's why such a person will get askara, which is an ailment of the mouth. Na'ana Reb Elazar ben Reb Yosi va'omar, Reb Elazar ben Reb Yosi, he answered, why is it that askara comes to the mouth? It starts in the intestines and ends in the mouth. He says, because the people who suffer from askara obviously ate something which is not kosher. Dvorim tmeim, asks the Gemara, dvorim tmeim solkadaitoch, could it really enter your mind that just eating something not kosher is punishable by death of askara? It cannot be. Elo, Reb Elazar ben Reb Yosi must have meant as follows, sha'oichlim bo dvorim sha'inam mesukonim. They are eating foods that have not had proper trumas and maisers taken from them. And here you see in the Gemara that Reb Elazar ben Reb Yosi explicitly said that askara comes from some alhamaisa, somebody that did not take trumas and maisers properly. So if at the top of the Omud we saw that Reb Elazar ben Reb Yosi said aloshin hara, after the Chacham before him said al hamaisa, it must be that what Reb Elazar ben Reb Yosi meant was af al loshen hara, not only al hamaisa, but also loshen hara. Continues the Gemara, Na'ane Reb Shimon va'omar. Reb Shimon answered, ba'avoyin bittel Torah, askara comes because of bittel Torah, and bittel Torah is a mitzvah. Limud HaTorah is a mitzvah that's done with the mouth, And since the mouth stopped talking Torah, the mouth will be punished for with askara, which is an ailment that comes to the mouth. Omru loy, the Chachomim said to Rav Shimon, how could it be that the bittul Torah is what causes askara? Noshim yechichu. We know that there are women that suffer from askara, and women are not obligated to study Torah bichlal. Says Rav Shimon, Shemavatli says Balein. It's true. They are not required to learn Torah, but they are required to encourage and to help their husbands learn Torah, and certainly not to disturb them from learning Torah. If a woman stops her husband learning Torah, then the woman could be punished with askara. Asks the Chachomim, Nochrim Rechichu. We see that Goyim are mechuyev in, they are not mechuyev in Torah, they're not mechuyev to help their husbands learn Torah, or they have no connection to Torah, and nonetheless, Goyim also get askara. Says Reb Shimon, Shemavatlin es Yisrael, a goy that causes directly or indirectly Yisrael to stop learning Torah, then the goy is going to be punished with askara. Asks the Gemara, Tinoikis Yechichu, young children who are not responsible for anything they do, why do they get askara? Says Reb Shimon, Shemavatlin es Aviem, because they cause their fathers to stop learning Torah. The fathers have to stop to soothe them, to take them in, to take them out, and there's lots of things that the children, the little children, cause somehow, directly or indirectly, that their fathers should have to stop learning Torah. To ask the Gemara, Tinoikas shall base Rabbon Yechichu. How about the school children? They are learning Torah, and nonetheless, they suffer from askara. Says the Gemara, Hosom could Rabbi Gurion. Domer Rabbi Gurion, Vitamer of Yosef Bereb Shemaya, Bizman Cha Tzadikim Bedoir, when there are Tzadikim, righteous people in the generation, Tzadikim Nitfosim Al Hadoir, then the righteous people get punished because of the Averis of the generation. Ein Tzadikim Bedoir, what happens when there are not enough or not great enough righteous people in a generation? Tinoikas shall be Srabon Nitfosim Al Hadoir, the children are punished for the Averis of the generation. So it's true, these school children who are learning Torah and they're not being Ovon Bittul Torah, and nonetheless they get askara not for their own Bittul Torah but for the Averis of the generation. The Gemara is now going to bring a source for this concept that the young children are a mashkoin for the generation. Omer Yitzchok Bar Ziri v'omer la'omer Shimon ben Azira. One of the two said as follows, my crow, where do you have a pasuk that teaches us such a concept? It says in the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Im loy tedi'iloch hayofo banoshim. You, hayofo banoshim, if you do not know where to graze, tzi'iloch be'ikve atzoin, follow in the footsteps of the sheep. And the pasuk continues, Uru'i es gidio isayich, and you can graze your kids al mishkanei saroim amongst the dwellings of the shepherds. Vamrinon, and concerning this, the Chachamim said, Gdoyim hamemushkonim al aroim. When it says there are ies gedio yisayich, referring you can graze the kids, the gedio yisayich al mishkanei saroim on the dwellings of the shepherds, and this means that the gedoyim are mishkanei. It literally means the dwellings of the shepherds, but it could mean the mashkan of the shepherds. The gedim, the young ones, the tinoikas shel beis rabbon, they are a mashkan for the adults, for the rest of the generation, for the shepherds. So you see here that the young children could be punished because of the averus of the generation. And the Gemara concludes, Shema Mino, we've seen from this Braisa, Af Aloshin Hora Nami Ko'omar, since we saw and we explained that Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yosi at the beginning of the Omud said Aloshin Hora, in this Braisa he said because they don't eat things that have been taken, Trumas and Maestras, properly. So you see that Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yosi must have held Af Aloshin Hora, not only does askara come because of Maisa, it also comes because of Loshin Hora. Shema Mina, and that's the final proof. Continues the Gemara. We saw before that Rabbi Yehuda was called the Rosh HaMedabrim B'Kol Mokim. He was always the first speaker in every place. When did that start and why? Says the Gemara, V'amai Koru Le Rosh HaMedabrim B'Kol Mokim. Why was Rabbi Yehuda referred to as the Rosh HaMedabrim B'Kol Mokim, the first of the speakers in every place? Says the Gemara, Diyasvi Reb Yehuda, Reb Yosi, Reb Shimon. the three Tanoim, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon, they were sitting together. V'yosef Yehuda ben Gerim Gabayhu. And with them was sitting somebody called Yehuda ben Gerim. Posach Rabbi Yehuda v'Omar, Rabbi Yehuda, not to be confused with Yehuda ben Gerim, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, he started as follows. Kama noim ma'aseim shel umazu, how admirable are the deeds of this nation. It was the Roman nation, the Roman Empire that were ruling in Eretz Yisrael at that time. Tiknu shvokim, they established marketplaces. Tiknu geshorim, they established bridges. Tiknu marchatzois, they established bathhouses. Rabbi Yossi Shosak, Rabbi Yossi heard how Rabbi Yehuda was praising the Romans, and he remained silent. Nan or Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai v'Omar. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai responded as follows: Kol ma she'tiknu lo tiknu elo l'tzorich atzmon. There's no reason and there's no room to praise them. Whatever they did for themselves, to serve their own personal needs. Tiknu shvokim lo hishiv bem zoynos. The reason that they established marketplaces was in order to establish places for the zoynos. Merchatzois le'adin bohen atzmon. The reason that they made bathhouses was just in order to be able to beautify their own bodies. Geshorim little men meches. The reason they built bridges was in order to be able to collect taxes from them. Holach Yehuda ben Gerim v'siper devrem. Yehuda ben Gerim, possibly innocently, he said over this discussion to the people in his home. V'nishmu ulemalchus. At the end of the day, as gossip goes, it goes from one to the next. At some point, the authorities heard about this discussion. Omru, the authorities proclaimed as follows: Yehuda she'ilo, Rabbi Yehuda the Tanna, the one who elevated the stature of the Romans, Yis'ale, we shall elevate him. Yosi Sheshosak, Rabbi Yosi, who kept quiet. Yigle Litzipuri, he's going to be exiled to a place called Tzipuri. Shimon Shegino, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, who spoke negatively about the Romans, Yehorig, he's going to be killed. Ozal Hu Uberei Toshu Be Midrasha. When Rabbi Shimon heard that a death sentence had been passed upon him, then he, together with his son Rabbi Elazar, they ran away and hid in a Beis HaMedrash. Kol Yoyim Mahavimaisel Hu Debisu. Every day Rabbi Shimon's wife would bring them Rifta, some bread, Vekuzo Demaya, and a small pitcher of water, Vekarchi, and they would eat. Kitakiv Gezerasa. When the Gezerah, the decree, intensified, and that obviously upped their what they were trying to do to find Reb Shimon. Omar Le Librei, Reb Shimon said to his son Reb Elazar, Noshim Daton Kalo Aleim. A woman's mind is often easily swayed. Dilma Mitzarilo, maybe the Romans are going to catch my wife, they're going to torture her. Umegalilon, and then she'll reveal where we're hiding. She knew which Beis HaMedrash they were in. She was bringing them food. Ozlu Toshu B'marasa. So they hid themselves in a cave. Israchish Nisa, a miracle happened. Iboru Luhu Charuva V'eino Demaya. A carob tree and a spring of water was created by way of miracle, especially for them at the entrance of the cave. V'havu Mashlichei Minayu. They would take off their clothes. V'havayos V'ad Savarayu B'cholo. They would sit covered in sand up to their necks. Kuleyei Megorsi. They were learning Torah all day long. Be'idon Tzluyei Lovshu Mikasu Umetzalu. When the time for davening came, then they would dress, they would cover themselves, and that way they would daven. And obviously there's a question which Tosfos early on in the Masechta asks. We know that Reb Shimon v'Chaverov are potter. They do not need to stop their learning in order to daven. Why did they stop to daven? So that's a discussion in Tosfos. V'hoda mashlechi minayu, when they finished davening, then they would again take off their clothes, and deloi liblu, and the reason they did this was because they did not know how long they would have to be in the cave, and they knew that if they would be wearing their clothes all the time, then the clothes would wear out, so to protect the clothes, they wore them just for davening. Continues the Gemara, Isvu Tresa Shnei B'morosa. They dwelled, they lived in this cave for 12 years. Also, Eliyahu v'kom apischa demarasa. Eliyahu Anovi came and stood at the entrance of this cave. Omar, and he proclaimed as follows: Man loyde lebar Yochai demis Caesar. Who's going to inform the son of Yochai, Reb Shimon bar Yochai, that the Caesar has died? Ubatel gzeirsa, and the decree that was passed against Reb Shimon has been annulled. Nofku, Reb Shimon heard Eliyahu Novi proclaim this. He realized it was safe for him to come out. He left the cave. Chozu inshi, Reb Shimon and Reb Elozo, he saw people, the Kokoruchi, the Kokorbe, Vizori. They were plowing the field and they were sowing the field. Omar, so Reb Shimon ben Yochai said, Manichin chaya oilam v'oiskim b'chaya isho? Are these people forsaking the life of the world to come, which is Limud HaTorah, and occupying themselves with oilam hazeh, with planting and plowing the fields? Kol mokim shenoisnim einem, everywhere that Reb Shimon bar Yochai and his son Reb Elozo would gaze at, miyad nisraf, immediately it would get burnt. Yotzo baskel v'omro lehem, a heavenly voice came out from Shemaim and said to Reb Shimon and his son, lehachri v'ilom yotzosem, did you come out of the cave in order to destroy my world? Chizru l'maraschem, go back into your cave. Hodur ozul, so Reb Shimon and his son, they went back to the cave. Isvu Teresa Yar Chashata, they were there for 12 months, a full year. Omri, they said, Mishpat Roshoim B'Gehenem Shnei Masa Chodesh. We know that the sentence of the Roshoim in Gehenem is 12 months. We've been in the cave now as if getting our punishment for 12 months. We can leave. Yotza Baskel V'Omra, heavenly voice rang out and said, Tzu'u Mimaraschem, you can come out of the cave. Nofku, Reb Shimon and his son came out of the cave. Kol heicha dehava mochi Reb Elozo, and everywhere where Reb Elozo would burn something because of his gaze, hava mosi Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon, his father, who was older and a little bit more, had that trait of love and was able to be a little bit more compassionate, he would heal it. That's how the Maral explains it. Omar loy, Reb Shimon said to Reb Elozo, Bani, Dai le'olam ani ve'ata. The two of us and our devotion to Torah is enough to keep the whole world, around. Behada panya demayla shabsa. It was erev Shabbos, late Friday afternoon. Chozu hahu sabor, Reb Shimon and Reb Elozo saw an elderly person. To have a nokit trei madone osa, he was carrying two bundles of hadasim. Veroit bein ashmoshes, and he was running as twilight descended. This old man was running with the two bundles of hadasim. Omrulei, they said to him, Hani lo moloch, why do you have these two bundles of hadasim? Omaluhu, this old man answered to Reb Shimon and Reb Elozo, Lichvoit Shabbos, in the honor of Shabbos. So the Vatizki loch bechad, Reb Shimon asked him, why is one not enough? Why do you need two bundles? See, he answered, Chad keneged zocher, chad keneged shomer. We know that everything about Shabbos is double. There's zocher v'shomer. In the Torah it says once zocher is Yom HaShabbos, and once you should be shomer is Shabbos. So, keneged, these two, zocher v'shomer, I have two bundles. Omalei lebrei, when Reb Shimon heard this, he said to his son, Chazi, look, kama chavivin mitzvahs al Yisrael. Look how cherished the mitzvahs are to Klal Yisrael. Yosef datayu, and then Reb Shimon and Reb Elozo were appeased, even though people were still walking around, going about mundane matters, and they were still working in their fields, obviously not on Shabbos, but they were not all learning Torah like Reb Shimon was learning Torah, and Reb Elozo seemingly was still burning things, but when they realized the chavivus hamitzvahs that the people had, they settled down. Continues the Gemara, Shomar Reb Pinchas ben Yoir Chasoni. Reb Pinchas ben Yoir, who was the son-in-law of Reb Shimon, he heard the Nofak Le'ape, he went out to greet Reb Shimon, he heard that Reb Shimon has left the cave. Aile Le'beibone, and he escorted Reb Shimon to the bathhouse. V'hava Ka'orich Le'lebisre, and he was massaging Reb Shimon's body. Chozi De'hava Be'pile Be'gufe, he saw that there were cracks in Reb Shimon's skin. Hava Kabochi, when he saw that, then Reb Pinchas started to cry. the Konosri Dimas Einei, and one of the salty tears of Rav Pinchas ben Yoyah's tears fell. They trickled from his eyes. The Komitzav Cholei, and they fell on the cracked skin of Rav Shimon and caused him to cry out in pain. Omar Loi, Rav Pinchas ben Yoyah said to his father-in-law Rav Shimon, Ohili Sheru Yisicha Bekach, woe unto me that I have seen you in such a state, looking like this. Omar Loi, Rav Shimon said to him, on the contrary, Ashrecho Sheru Sini Bekach, fortunate are you that you have seen me like this. Shel Moli Loi Yisani Bekach, had you not seen me in such a state, being able to bear the agony of physical pain, Loi Motzoso Bekach, you will not find in me the great Torah that I now possess. What great Torah? What did Rav Shimon possess now, consequent to his having been in the cave for these 13 years and having endured so much of physical affliction? The Mikora, at the beginning, before he went into the cave, ki have makshi Rav Shimon ben Yochai kushya. When Rav Shimon ben Yochai would ask a question, have a mephorically Rav Pinchas ben Yoyah teresa piruke. Pinchas ben Yoyah would answer him with 12 solutions to his question. Lesayf, but in the end, after Rav Shimon came out of the cave, ki have a makshi Rav Pinchas ben Yoyah kushya. When Rav Pinchas ben Yoyah would ask a question, have a mephorically Rav Shimon ben Yochai Eslin v'arba pruki. Rav Shimon ben Yochai was able to answer him with 24 solutions to the issue. So you see that Rav Shimon's chachma had doubled, tripled, had really escalated, consequent to having been in the cave. And Rav Shimon attributed it to his willingness to endure what the physical endurance that he took in the cave and after. Omar, Rav Shimon said, "Hoyel v'srachish nisa, since a miracle was performed and I got saved, there was a decree against me that I should be killed, and Baruch Hashem, I got saved. Ezil atkin milsa, I want to go and remedy something. I want to do something positive. I want to, so to speak, repay back Hashem in gratitude and fix something that needs fixing." D'chsiv, as it says in the pasuk, that when Yaakov Avinu was saved from Esav, it says Vayova Yaakov Sholim, that Yaakov came back whole, intact. V'omar Rav, and Rav says, what does that mean? Sholim begufo, he came back intact physically. Sholim b'mamoino, he came back intact financially. Sholim b'teiroso, he came back intact spiritually with his Torah. Vayichen es pneo ir. Straight afterwards, it says in the pasuk, he encamped before the city. Omar Rav, and Rav says, what does it mean he encamped? Vayichen, what's that referring to? And Rashi seems to say that the word vayichen, irregular, the poshut pshat, means that he encamped, but vayichen could also be a term of chen, and, you know, being gracious. He wanted to be gracious to the people. He did something. What did he do? Omar Rav, matbea tikkun lehem, he established a new coin for the city. Ushmuel Omar, shvokim tikkun lehem, he established marketplaces for them. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, merchatzois tikkun lehem, he established bathhouses for them. So we see that Yaakov, after he came back, sholem, he came back intact, he did something to graciously help and support the people that were in the town, and so too Rav Shimon wanted to do the same. So what did Rav Shimon do? Omar, Rav Shimon said to the leaders, to the community leaders, Ika milta de boile tekune, is there anything that needs improvement here? Omrule, they said to him, Ika duchta de isbe sofik tuma. There's a certain place where it's not so clear whether it's tahir, it could be it's tome. We don't know if there are dead people buried there. V'islu utzara l'koyanim le'akufei. And it's very bothersome for the koyanim that because they don't know if it's a beis akvaros, if it's a graveyard, they're not allowed to go through. And it's very bothersome for them that they have to go all the way around. Omar, Rav Shimon said as follows, Ika inish deyoda dischazik hocha toira. Tahara. Is there anybody here who knows that this is that there's any place here that is definitely Tahir? Omar Leahu Saba, a certain older person said, Kan Kitzeitz Ben Zakai Turma Se Truma. I remember that in this very place, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakai, he used to cut down Turmasim of Truma, And obviously this place, that particular place where he planted this truma and he cut down the truma, was obviously tahir. Ovid iu nami hachi. So Reb Shimon did the same. Kol heicha dehava kashi, everywhere where the ground was hard, tahari, he said, is tahir. V'chol heicha dehava rafi, and anywhere that the ground was soft, he marked it off, as if saying, this is tomei. And now the Kohanim could go through, they knew exactly where there was a dead body buried, and the Kohanim were not allowed to go near there. But everywhere else, they could go through. Now what really happened here was as follows. This area that they were not sure if it was, what its status was, the truth was, if it would be a Beis HaKvaros, Kohanim are not allowed to go through. You're not allowed to empty out a Beis HaKvaros, you're not allowed to move corpses from a Beis HaKvaros. Reb Shimon knew, if this is a Beis HaKvaros, there's nothing doing. When he heard witness from this old man that Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai would plant truma there, it was clear to Reb Shimon that this is definitely not an old Beis HaKvaros. The whole question was, could it be that after Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai, they temporarily, or maybe not temporarily, buried somebody there in a place that was not designated to be a Beis HaKvaros? If so, the halacha is that if a person is buried in a place that's not a Beis HaKvaros, one is allowed to remove the body, remove the corpse, keeping the whole throughway, keeping it tahir. Since Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai, he put the truma he used were these turmasin, so Reb Shimon used the same type of plant in order to do his ness. And what he did was, he sprinkled the turmasin, and because of Reb Shimon's holiness and the ness, what happened was, if there was a corpse there, the corpse slowly elevated and became closer to the surface of the ground. Because of this movement, one could see that the earth was a little bit softer. Now, technically speaking, Reb Shimon could have removed the corpse and everything would have been tahir. For whatever reason, he chose not to do that. He left the corpses there, but since he knew where they were, he could mark them. And now the Kohanim could go around and use the rest of the area without having to encircle the entire area, the entire market or the street or whatever the field it was talking about. Continues the Gemara. Omar Ahu Saba. After this whole incident, this elderly person, he said as follows, and he said it a little bit sarcastically and a little bit in a way that was degrading, Tiheir ben Yochai Beis HaKvaros, as if to say, Reb Shimon ben Yochai, he took a Beis HaKvaros, and a Beis HaKvaros is a place which is the most severe type of tumah, and he made it tahir. He made it tahir. And this is something Reb Shimon wasn't happy with, this type of comment, the cynicism with which the comment was made. Omalei Reb Shimon said to him, Il mole loy ho yisoy monu, if you would not have been here with us while we were doing this, v'afilu ho yisoy monu v'loy nimnei simonu, or if, even if you had been with us, you were with us, but you had not been part of us, and as you were, he was part of the conversation, he was part of the whole process. Then I can hear what you're saying. This is a Beis HaKvaros. It might be a Beis HaKvaros. How can Reb Shimon ben Yochai just say that besides for the places that are marked, it's all tahir? But you were here with us. You were part of us in this group, doing with this ness. People will say now that even Zoynois Mefarkasoy Zeh, even Zoynois, where there's some competition between them, they help each other, they braid each other's hair so that they should each be successful with what they're doing. Talmidei Chachomim lo kol shekein. Even more so, Talmidei Chachomim, they should be looking to help each other. They shouldn't be looking to criticize what each other are doing. What's this going on here that you're part of this Chabura, you're part of our group, you saw the Ness. What is it that you're criticizing and cynically commenting about what's been going on here? Yohiv Be'eni, Reb Shimon set his eyes upon this person, V'noch Nafshei, and he passed away. Nofak L'shuka, later on, Reb Shimon Ben Yochai went out to the marketplace, Chaz Yol Yehuda Ben Gerim, who did he meet? None other than the infamous Yehuda Ben Gerim, whose gossip caused Reb Shimon to have to go into the cave. Omar, Reb Shimon said, Adayin Yesh L'zeh Bo'ilom, there's still one like this in the world? Nosan boy Einov, Reb Shimon set eyes on him, v'asou gal shel atzomois, and turned him into a heap of bones. And Emir Tzashem, in the next shiur, we're going to learn the Mishnah.